Good evening, America. Good afternoon, Australia. You're listening to Tony Lontis, live from the Gold Coast. And this is Everyday Business, a business show with a difference. Every business has a story. Every business has something to say. Let me help you say it on Radio Tony. Please join me now for the wonderful team of Keystone Business Advisory, the team that'll make the difference in your life and your business's life. Each week, Harry, Raj, Rita, and I will explore the wonderful world of motivation, leadership, and learning. Join us all each week on Radio Tony, Everyday Business. Well, hello everyone and welcome back to Radio Tony. This is your second live installment for today and I am joined by the amazing team at Keystone Business Advisory and they have almost 76 years of combined experience and success in both entrepreneurial and working in corporate. Raj, Rita and Harry founded Keystone Advisory, Business Advisory rather, a boutique business advisory and coaching service for people in business. And they've encountered many solopreneurs, entrepreneurs and small to medium enterprises that possess great know-how and expertise in what they do, but they struggle with the operational role of their business or they've just lost focus or clarity along the way. For various reasons. Today, many are experiencing great difficulty with lack of motivation, clear direction, and overcoming fear, particularly in these COVID times. They are experiencing trouble generating sales, growth, employee engagement, and increasing and improving productivity. Raj, Rita, and Harry provide you with honest, transparent, and dedicated personalized service to help you become more successful. As a dynamic team, Raj, Rita, and Harry are the brand behind the success of Keystone Business Advisory. And you can talk to them anytime you want by jumping on to their website. So without any further ado, today we're going to talk to the lovely Rita first up. Good morning, or good afternoon, Rita, rather.
Good afternoon, Tony, and good evening to America. How are you all?
I'm sure that everyone's doing good. We've just had a big laugh before coming live on air, so I'm trying to maintain the smile throughout our show today. So, Rita, last week we introduced our listeners to the concept that we were going to have a competition where people could write in and win a motivational map and strategy session with Raj. And later on in the show, we want to recap about that. But this week, Rita wants the listeners to think about two questions. So that first question is, what's holding you back in life?
Yes.
And how do you change your self-perception and untap your hidden potential for personal and business success? So today, Raj, Rita, and Harry will answer these questions and much, much more. So, Rita, I'm going to get you to repeat those questions again for our listeners, just so we get them right at the start of the show.
Okay, so last week's question was, tell us, for those viewers that have missed out on attending the show, it was, tell us in 25 words or less, what motivates you and why? And our questions for this week, I will reiterate when I'm at the end of the program, I'll tell you
yes.
What the next two questions will be for this week. But for those that have missed our segment, again, the last week's question was, tell us in 25 words or less, what motivates you and why?
And listeners, there's a great prize awaiting for you who will take the time to answer those questions. And it's a motivational map worth $595 with an individual session with Raj explaining those results. It's a very powerful tool to help you with your motivation. And we will also talk about that at the end of the show. So Today, it's great to be back with the team and live on air again. For those of you that listen to the show regularly, you'll know that we've had some internet issues on and off this week, and I'm happy to say that live on the show now, we are all good to go. So, last week, we discussed this acronym called VUCA and what VUCA means. And so just to recap, VUCA is not only the reason why people feel something is holding them back, but VUCA describes the volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity in our life. And I love this phrase. And Rita, we spoke about VUCA last week. Can you just, I'm going to digress a little bit, but I want to know where VUCA come from. What nationality? Because it sounds South African.
It actually does. Never thought of
it. No, it does.
Funny enough, we're all from the South African region. I should say Southern African region. But yes. I'm going to have Harry just expand on that because he was speaking about VUCA last week and he was expanding on that for this week.
Yeah, so, sure.
Yes. Harry, tell us about VUCA.
So VUCA was an acronym that was actually created by the military, the U.S. Military War College, way back in the 60s. This was after the war. And it's an acronym that as a result of the war, all the volatility, the uncertainty, the complexity, and the ambiguity that resulted, that's where that acronym actually came about. Now, while it was created by the War College, this acronym is widely used in business today. And so, really, the acronym VUCA is so appropriate, especially in this time of what we're experiencing as a result of COVID. And, we find
very
that
relevant.
it is actually, holding people back from what they do. It's holding people away from their freedom. And it's instilling fear into people that not only in terms of what is going to happen in the external environment, in terms of health and all of those things, but it's actually instilling fear into people in not progressing with their lives and in their business. And so this is one of the things that, we want to discuss today, is that why do people feel that something is holding them back in life? And so if it's okay with you, I'd like to actually address that, because that was a question that we left listeners last week to think about. And so I'm just going to talk about that very briefly.
Yes, please.
So yes, while VUCA is an external factor that is impacting on people's lives, most of the fears that we have as human beings are more internal than external. And so, we hold ourselves back. And I'm going to actually use an example of a phone call that I had on Monday from a potential client. And she called me and she said, I've been made redundant in my work. I've got a young family. I want to start off in my own business, but I'm actually afraid. I don't know whether this is a good time for me to actually start a business. Now, keep that question at the back of your mind, because as I answer this question further, we will get to that point about when is a good time. And so coming back to the things that actually hold us back in life, one of the biggest things that actually hold us back in life is really fear. Fear is one of the most common barriers to success for many people, and it could be a barrier to some of the listeners listening in today. Fear comes in various forms, and some of these fears are the fear of failing, the fear of rejection and criticism, the fear of poverty, the fear of losing your job, the fear of the unknown, and that's the worst one. The fear of the unknown is probably the worst of all the fears, because you start thinking so far and so deep into the fear factor that you concoct a lot of things into your head which may never ever materialize.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fear of the unknown is one of it. And that's one of the things that I actually addressed to this lady that called me. You know, so when we have fear, the one of the things that actually comes out is that I can't. I can't do what you're asking me to do. I can't do what I'm thinking of doing. And that phrase, I can't, keeps playing in your mind. And to the point where our brain actually becomes paralyzed, right? It becomes paralyzed because we think that, you know what, I cannot take a chance. I cannot afford to lose what I have. I don't know what is going to happen if I do what I plan to do. So fear actually holds you back. And the point that I want to make to listeners tonight is this, that accept that fears are learned. No one is born with fears. None of us are born with fears. This is a behavior that we learn. And we learn because of probably from the time when we were kids and our parents would tell us, don't do that. Don't do that, because if you do that, you're going to fall or you're going to get hurt. So don't do that. And that gets ingrained, right? So every time we want to do something that is out of our comfort zone, we will say, don't do it. So that's you know, the fear is really one of the most common factors why people hold back in doing things in life. The other one is go ahead.
Sorry, Harry, I was going to say, and the thing about fear is that it's actually in our brains. So if we do the thing that we're fearful of, it's not actually going to kill us, is it?
No, it's not going to kill you, but it is that thought that you keep building within your mind that, you know what, if I do this, you know, things are going to go wrong. So as I said, you know, it's almost as if your brain becomes paralyzed with the fear factor that you don't even want to take the slightest of chances that you could possibly take to achieve something in life.
I may just cut in.
That's right.
I was actually reading a book the other day, and in this book they mentioned that something only materializes into a thing when we put a label to it. So something will only materialize into a fear if we label it as a fear. The moment we label something as something, that's when you give in life to that thing. As long as you don't label it, it doesn't exist.
A really funny scenario. Being born and brought up in Zimbabwe, we were brought up with a lot of, sayings and things like, you know, if you do this, this will happen. And there was this particular one incident where my granny used to say, oh, you know, the dog's crying. So if the dog cries, someone's going to die. And it was ingrained in us from a young age. And so one day, my neighbor here in Australia had a dog. And this dog cried the whole night. And I probably for whatever reason. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, that something's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen because it was ingrained in me. And that fear factor was there. But this dog kept crying for a few more days. And I thought, well, how long does the dog have to cry before I hear somebody's dog, you know? And ever since that day, I sort of said, you know what? You've got to stop somewhere. And all the myths and all the superstitions that I was taught, I just threw out, because you then come to realize that, okay, it's just your perception of something. Doesn't mean it's right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, superstitions do cause fear. Sometimes we have phobias, and all that is related really to fear, the phobia of snakes. You know, you're scared of snakes, and so you every time you think of a snake, you think, you know, I need to stay far away from them, although you haven't seen one. But you have that fear of it.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, there's so many of these things, but negative self-talk is another one that holds us back in life, right?
Yes.
So if we keep engaging in negative self-talk or keep putting ourselves or others down, This invites negativity into our lives. And if you tell yourself you're stupid, or that you don't do anything right, or that you can't do something, or why bother, I won't succeed anyway.
Yes.
When you start having this type of negative self-thought, these are self-inflicting wounds which will hold you back in life. And so you have to change that behavior from I can't to I can. You know? And, you know, allow yourself. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So, Harry, the negative self-talk is actually building our self-perception of ourselves. But we have the power to change that, don't we?
Oh, yes. You have the power to change that. And one of the ways to change that power of fear that holds over you is to actually tackle fear head on. And when you start tackling fear head on, you will find that the more you confront that fear, the more the fear reduces, and the more your self-esteem, your confidence, your self-confidence increases. So people remember this. This is important. It's a very important tool, that when you tackle fear head on, you will find that your fear factor will start reducing, but your self-confidence and your level of self-esteem and self-worth will start increasing as a result.
So, Harry, that self-perception is really important. And before we get on to the next question, maybe Rita can explain for our listeners, what is self-perception?
Thanks, Tony. So while there are many theories and definitions of self-perception, my favorite one is simple. It's that self-perceptions are really the different beliefs we have of ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So these beliefs, they can be positive or negative. And they can also exert powerful influences on the things we do or we refuse to do. So the amount of effort we expend on a particular activity, or even whether we're actually going to engage in that activity in the future. So if we have a negative feeling about ourselves and we are told to do a task, while it may be good for us, while it may show us some success, we're going to have this reservation of not wanting to go ahead and do it. So we really need to, you know, try and change those perceptions.
And that's
Definitely.
Where all the fear comes in. That's a fear factor.
Yeah.
It's things like, I'm not good enough, or I don't have enough money to do what I want to do, or I'm just not motivated to try it because, again, I will not succeed. I will fail. So you've already failed before you even attempted to try to do something.
And
Rita, they can be really simple things, can't they?
Exactly. You can be everyday things, you know?
Yeah.
Even a simple thing like just cooking a meal. You know, it's something that you've never tried. Oh, no, I can't. I don't think I can do that. That's too hard. It's too complicated. No, let me not do that. But maybe if you just tried it, you know, you never know what your outcome's going to be, and you won't know until you give it a go. So every little thing in life.
I think what happens is many of us tend to live in a comfort zone, Tony. And that little comfort zone becomes a happy place, a happy bubble that we like to stay in. And as long as things are nice and cozy in there, we don't want to venture beyond that. But if we sort of just start taking mini steps, we'll sort of get an awakening of something new that's never been tried before. And we might make mistakes along the way, but we're going to learn from that mistakes. And as we learn from those mistakes, what's actually happening is we are sort of recoding our brain that, okay, you know, if I had to just do this thing extra, I've got something new now. You know, like using Rita's cooking example, if I have to just change the recipe a little bit because I saw something on TV or a new spice has come out or a new product, an ingredient has come out that I can add to it. Now I'm getting an awakening, right? And suddenly everybody that eats that meal suddenly likes it. And so it's given me an awakening, and my mind's now recoded that next time I'm going to try this again. So now your brain's been recoded into a new dimension at a different level. And now as you start doing it more and more often through practice, you become extraordinary in doing what you're doing. So the whole idea is whatever you are doing to sort of venture out of your comfort bubble and get an awakening, and then recode your mind or get a reframing in your mind, and then practice it over and over so that you can become extraordinary at what you do. So then it's a staged process, not trying to go from A to Z in one big leap, but rather going in a step-by-step manner.
So Tony, this lady that I was actually speaking to, and so I told her, I said, well, all the things that you're telling me is really is all negative self-talk. Right? That's because you're telling me things like, oh, well, do you think this is the right time? Maybe I should just wait when my kids are a bit older because, you know, I need to spend more time with them now. And so I told her that I think what this is doing is that it's actually holding you back, because you can find endless amount of reasons why you can't move forward. And this is why we work with individuals and business owners, whether they're established business owners or whether they're starting out in their business. Many business owners don't want to take the next step to grow their business. They're happy in this, as Raj says, in this comfort zone. They're in this little bubble that they're living in, and they think that, well, the world is not going to change for me. It is what it is. And unfortunately for them, the world is changing, and it is changing faster now than at any time in our life. And so we have to change, and we have to change with that change that is taking place. We have to adapt to that change, and we have to make that change work for us. And this is what we do in our self-mastery program, which we'll talk about more next week and the week after. And that we want to help these business owners and even individuals like this lady who called me yesterday to overcome these barriers so that they can find that success and happiness in their life. You know, it is really amazing to see how many people actually come out of this negative mindset and reinvent themselves when they just take that first step. And you don't have to take large steps. You don't have to go and invest thousands or hundred thousands of dollars into anything. A small step. I'm actually talking to my son right now for him to do something as a side hustle to take that step.
I'm full of that. Because I was working in corporate, and I was in my comfort zone. I knew my job really well. I loved it day in, day out. You do the same thing. Until I, went and approached Raj, who then, for a training program. And I slowly started to come out of this bubble saying, when I got to him, it was like, I could never do this. There's no way I would, leave my corporate job and come and do this. But through his training and resetting my mind, I actually got out of my comfort zone and the fear I had to say, take that bold step and say, yep, I'm going to join this company and I want to move ahead and help people. And it just takes that weight off your shoulder when you know you can.
So Rita, you effectively changed
my mindset,
your self-perception. So you changed that perception that you were already good and successful in your corporate role, but you had to change your perception of yourself so that you could then come and join Raj and Harry in Keystone Business Advisory. So it is possible to change your self-perception, isn't it, Rita?
I was a very negative person. I just sat in my little bubble. And through training and knowing what is out there and how we can implement that training and that knowledge, I was able to break that barrier and move forward.
You find this quite a common trait amongst a lot of people that are in corporate, Tony, where they are working in an environment that's very, very confined to rules and procedures. They've got to do things within a certain space, and they can't venture beyond that space. And so because of that, they feel restricted. And so what happens is when you start talking to these people that are in corporate, and you listen to them, and they've got amazing ideas and of how they can improve or grow themselves, but they can't because they've got their limited. So whilst, you know, Harry spoke about self-limiting beliefs, that is what where you limit yourself. These are sort of forced upon because they can't move. There's no space. There's no room. There's no opportunity to grow. Yeah. And many times don't see this characteristic within their employees or within their staff. They don't realize that I've got someone in my team who's very creative and they want to actually advance. They tend to hold on to these people because it makes them look good. And they don't want to lose someone that's capable and competent and then have to bring someone else and train them and things like that, you know. So so they hold on to these type of people, and that's to the detriment of the organization as a whole. Because what happens is then these type of individuals tend to resign and move on to another company, or like in Rita's case, into our own business, you know. So that's what happens.
Yeah.
Well, as Brian Tracy says, you know, you become what you think about most of the time. So the more you think negative, the more negative you will be. The more positive you think of yourself, the more positive you will achieve things in life, and you will try new things and you will break those barriers. And that has so many positive benefits for you. By just being positive, that your self-esteem, your self-confidence grows, and you are able to achieve more, and you aspire to achieve even more by thinking positively. I mean, in our business, you know, we're always breaking new ground. We're always thinking of how we can improve, what else we can do. And sometimes we tap into areas that we've never tapped into before, like this radio show. We've never done a radio show before. And so, you came along and we said, that's great. Let's do something with Tony. And here we are, you know, so you take these chances and that's the only way you grow. You grow personally, grow your business. And that is what I encourage listeners, that step out of that comfort zone that you are in and take, you know, comfortable risks that you can manage, that is not going to cause a major impact on your life or your finances, and take that risk. Think about it, but take that step. You know, you need to stop procrastinating and you need to start doing.
I'm smiling because the earlier show we talked about my procrastination and what stops me and the things that I do to manage that procrastination, and that's around boundaries and time and keeping busy and keeping organized. And from Keystone Business Advisory perspective, when I came to them and said, how about you go on live radio with me? And they'd never done that before. So that's a huge step into fear and doing something that you've never done before. And along with stepping into that fear comes a motivation, which leads us nicely into the next topic that we want to talk about, is how motivation pushes you into things that you might be fearful about. So Raj, your area of expertise is most definitely motivation, and I've experienced your power in the area of motivation. So how do you think that people and businesses' motivation is being impacted by our current COVID situation?
Yeah, look, you know, really speaking, it's human nature. I think whenever something happens, we always try and look at, is there something that I can relate this to in the past? Because that sort of gives us an idea, like a model on what I can maybe base my next steps on. And what we're going through at COVID, the closest model we have is something that happened almost 100 years ago, right? Uh-huh. And that was in 1918. And although that pandemic is nowhere near the same as what we're going through today, simply because of it's a changing era, it's a change of times. Technology, economy, the way the world has advanced in 100 years has changed everything, right? We've been through so many wars alone just in the last 100 years, including the big one. So so all these things made us wiser, but we still go back and say, okay, what happened 100 years ago and where are we now? Well, where we are now is that firstly, we have what's known as the digital era, right? So we've got this medium that we're using right now to communicate, which amazingly, you know, still gives us opportunities to do business and to communicate.
Yes.
Right. 100 years ago, they couldn't do that. Right. So,
no.
So how is businesses affected? Well, a lot of businesses are saying, okay, so I can't see customers face to face, but maybe I can communicate with them through a medium like this. Yeah. And amazingly, I mean, we actually down under here in Australia, and we're speaking to people in the USA and beyond, wherever else people may be listening from, including
our yes. Family.
So that wasn't possible 100 years ago, right? And then you've got this thing called the internet, obviously, where you can market your services across the world. You can put it up on Amazon or eBay or any of those platforms. And lo and behold, you know, your world is your oyster, as they say. You know, so
definitely.
You know, businesses need to, what we said earlier, step out of that, business owners rather need to step out of that comfort zone and say, okay, so I've got this, how else, what can I do with it in a different way, right? In terms of mindset, that's another discussion as well in terms of motivation and mindset, right? So In our business, we use a motivation model designed by Maslow back in the 1940s. And so Abraham Maslow developed a tool which he called the hierarchy of needs theory. And he wanted to sort of identify what actually motivates people, what drives people to action, right? And he identified five different layers in that pyramid that he eventually developed. And amazingly now, during this COVID period down here in Australia, a company called BMT, which is they have an online magazine, a marketing magazine.
Yes.
They actually did research using Maslow's theory to understand what's happening with consumer behavior and what do people think in terms of their motivations right now. And they found that people who were sitting on a higher levels of Maslow's pyramid, that means they were sitting at a level where they had high self-confidence, high self-esteem or self-actualization, they suddenly started coming down the pyramid back to trying to fulfill their basic needs. And so at the very bottom of Maslow's pyramid, he identifies that your first goal in life, your first need that you need to fulfill in life is your basic needs, which is your survival needs. Right. And
so we're talking food and shelter.
Exactly. And so we're talking about food and shelter and the ability to just pay your mortgage or your rent and basic utilities and things like that. And so what happens is that we adopt what we call a defensive mindset. Right.
Yes.
We become defensive, we become risk averse. We want to make sure that we protect what we've got. And if our kids are going to go out for a night of partying, we tend to say, no, don't go, because, you know, we don't know what's happening out there. And you might come back and, you know, the virus might spread to the rest of us in the family or something like that.
Yeah,
So every parent out there feels extremely nervous. I know I did just a couple of weeks ago, and my son wanted to go out for dinner even just with some friends.
Yes.
And luckily it rained like crazy and he decided not to go. And I said, thank heavens he didn't go, you know. But basically, even from a businessman's perspective, or business person's perspective, you become defensive in your marketing dollars, take my business online. Say, I don't know how to do it. But yet today it's the capabilities out there are amazing. You know, before this call, Harry and I were having a discussion about some other things. a business idea, and we talked about the tools that are available on the internet at a very, very affordable price today. You know, all things are so affordable, it's amazing. And so technology is an amazing enabler, and businesses need to look at how can we use technology in our business. Now, the thing is that, you know, we must understand that our motivations change. Right?
Yes.
We need to accept, firstly, understand that motivations change, and secondly, accept the fact that I could be demotivated right now, and that's a reality.
Uh-huh.
You know what? So is a millions of, more than millions and millions of people out there are in a similar position. But
they are.
But, you know, you might see a lot of messaging coming out now about being thankful and gratitude and things like that. So what have I got that I'm still grateful for and I'm still thankful for? Because that's a hell of a lot more than what many other people might have out there. So I might be in a better position. It's not only just what you got, but it's also what who you know as well. So whom do I know? Or who can I reach out to that can help me to put something into being, some idea into that can lead to a business opportunity or can take me to my next level or things? Who are my trusted people that I can refer to, right? So this is where we have this motivational map that you assessment that you did last a couple of weeks ago.
Yes,
well.
Yes.
This is where this kind of a tool helps you to understand where is my motivation right now? What's driving me right now? What are the energy behind what's driving me right now? Because if I can understand that, then it's easier for me to accept it. Okay, this is where I am now. And these are the strategies that I can employ to get me out of this place into a better place.
Raj, is everyone's motivation different?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. We are motivated for different reasons, different things. Some of us are motivated by things that in the past or people that we know and we feel comfortable there or things that we have. So if I'm, I might be out of a job right now, but I've got sufficient financial resources to keep me going till doomsday, let's say, if such a thing does happen.
Yes.
And we all pray it doesn't, and I don't think it will anyway. But so that sort of puts me in a defensive mind frame because from the past, I accumulated this wealth and I've got it or things like that. Or alternatively, I've got government support to keep me going while I figure out what to do next. Because really the main thing is some kind of surety that something is happening that's keeping the lights on and keeping food on the table, but I need to bide my time in a constructive way so that I can move to the next step. I need to find the time to focus and figure out what it is that I need to do. Now, if you understand what's actually motivating you, then you can say, okay, these are the things I need to do because these are the this is where my energy is going or my mindset is going.
Uh-huh.
And I need to work in alignment with that. Now, motivations also change over time as well, as I said earlier with the research.
Okay.
So what's motivating you today, 6 months from now could be different, or a year from now could be different again. So it's good to have a health check on your motivation, so to say, every so often, every 6 to 10 months or 12 months, like you did one, and maybe we'll tell you 6 months or 12 months from now.
Yes.
Do another one, you know, and see what's motivating you now. You could be motivated by the future. So you might accept the fact that, yes, this is where we are right now, day dot or ground zero, whatever you want to call it. But a year from now, this is what I foresee for the world or for myself. So you're motivated by
Right.
Or you could be motivated by things that you know, your expertise. And so you say, you know what, like what I'm doing with you now, what we do with you, what we're talking about now, this is what we love talking about to people.
Yeah.
And so we love sharing our knowledge and our expertise with other people. And that's what motivates us. So similarly to other people out there, they could be knowledgeable in a certain subject. And what motivates them is actually learning more about it and sharing their knowledge with other people too. So different people are motivated definitely by different things. You might remember as a child coming home from school and you make your first drawing with crayons and you wonder, Mom and Dad, see what I drew today, and and you want that acceptance from them that loved it. Wow, my daughter was really smart, you know. And so that's what you talk about. You're motivated by the feedback that you're going to get from your manager or from people in your inner circle or your colleagues or things like that. So that's a motivation in itself, because when you get positive feedback, that drives you to want to even improve further and further in your workplace. And this is where a lot of managers fail to look at each person as an individual in their team and say, okay, what's driving each one of these people? And if I can figure out what's driving each one of us here, four of us in this meeting here right now, then I can communicate with each person based on what's driving them and allocate work or type of work that's motivating them even more. You see, and in that way, or put them in a role where they feel most aligned to in from their own motivational perspective. So we use this tool even with corporates where we've got managers to allocate work to people based on an alignment between what work needs to get done, and also if that is in alignment with what I want to do for myself in terms of my personal motivations. So there has to be that alignment too. And so, you know, it's amazing that the science behind this whole thing, which has always been there for us since the 1940s, but hasn't been effectively implemented in the corporate world, and even in small businesses for that matter.
Yeah. I just want to add to Tony. Yeah, sorry.
I'm considering motivation in terms of the corporate world and thinking that if you want to drive profits and productivity, if you find what motivates your employees, you're going to do all those things in a nicer, more helpful way for them and for the business.
And look, a lot of business owners, those that are really, you know, progressive and want to not only grow their business but also have invested in their people. And what you find is that when these businesses have actually carried out the motivational map to all their staff, they've seen remarkable productivity improvement within the business. They've also able to identify what actually motivates individuals within teams and how they can better manage those teams. So, for example, we had a client that was going to embark on a major project, but the project needed people, needed skills from different areas of the business. And so the motivational map actually helped them to identify which people to actually bring onto this project, because it was a massive project. It was going to take them 12 months to complete this project. It was worth millions of dollars. And so the motivational map actually helped them to source the best possible people out of all the teams
for that team.
And so you know, these are important things. The motivational map definitely helps to build team morale. It helps to inspire teams. It helps to identify the gaps within the teams. And so it helps the individual understand what really motivates them, but it also helps the managers and the business owners to see actually what they can do to inspire their team further when they know what the level of motivation is. And so, you know, we encourage business owners to invest in those type of things. And the other good thing is, when we do the motivational map, it's done on an individual basis. But when we do it for a number of people that belong to a particular team, we can also then give them a team report. So that team report, the team report is actually an excellent tool that gives the business owner or the manager information on exactly what the team dynamic is at any point in time. And so the motivational map helps them to identify what each person is bringing to their team.
Okay.
So, you know, for listeners, I would really, put this point through to them that they should seriously look at this. If they, especially now with COVID, with everything happening, there's so much happening in people's personal lives. There are people working remotely. And so a motivational map can actually help to bring those people who are working remotely, to bring them together, because it helps that manager to identify, you know, those strengths and gaps that people have, and see how they can work through those gaps to build stronger and more motivated teams, and ultimately, obviously, improve productivity and the morale within the team, especially now during this period of COVID.
Especially now.
If you don't mind, I can share my screen with you on an image. I just, while Harry was talking, I just thought of a diagram that I have, which I can actually maybe share with the listeners to help them. Sometimes, you know, a picture tells 1,000 words in a way, as they say. And maybe...
Yes, exactly. Now.
So you need to click on my...
Okay, so I've shared with you, Raj.
Okay.
Yep. So I hope that I've done that. I've made you a host.
So let me know if you can see my screen.
Yes, we can.
Right. So
we
in this image,
can.
So thank you. So in this image, what we've actually done is that we've created this model where we've used Maslow's hierarchy of needs pyramid here on the left-hand side, which is physiological, safety, belonging, self-esteem, and sexual self-actualization. And what we've done is we've said that, you know, for managers to have effective work teams, rather, as Harry said, and even individuals, they first need to understand what are their individual team members' aspirations. That means, why are they working in this organization? What do they want to get out of this out of this job, or out of this organization? And what are their personal goals in their life? So, you know, I've got Sam working for me. What is Sam's aspirations and what is Sam's goals in terms of what he wants to achieve in his life? Because that helps me understand what his motives are for working here. Is he just here for the money, or is he here for career advancement, or is he here to be my boss eventually?
That's a
good idea of the kind of effort that Sam will actually put into the work that he does on a day-to-day basis. And that gives me a better understanding of his performance level as well.
Yes.
So that, because if his performance is really good, it means that he's highly fulfilled in his job. He's reaching a level of self-actualization in a sense, right? And when a person like that is fulfilled in their role, they achieve a sense of happiness and accomplishment in their role. That means they feel that they enjoy what they're doing, they enjoy interacting with their workers, their colleagues, they feel inspired to come to work on a day-to-day basis. And that means obviously employee satisfaction, the maximization of productivity, as Harry was alluding to earlier, and obviously customer satisfaction. And when you're achieving that, obviously that means your organization is achieving the vision that it set out to achieve at an organizational level, and this person also is achieving what they wanted to achieve in their lifetime. Now, when we compare that to how engaged are people in their workplace as employees, we'll find that people that are still trying to fulfill their basic needs, that there's a chance that, and I'm not generalizing, I'm just saying that there may be a chance they could be more disengaged because they looking for to maybe job hop because there's another job that's offering them more money and they're not going to stay in one job very long because they're trying to fulfill their basic needs, right? Or, you know, same thing applies with their safety and security needs, right? They're not as engaged as people that are more self-actualized, more happy, more fulfilled further up the pyramid. So the higher up the pyramid you go, you'll find that employees are more engaged because they're getting self-fulfillment and inner satisfaction of the work that they do. And so yes. The higher up you go, you're going to find that employees are more engaged than at other levels. Now, you know, the types of motivators that we're talking about in our motivational map are these type of motivators, the 9 motivators. So firstly, we look at what we call the defender. So there's a kind of person who's looking for stability and security and motivated by that right now. So they're looking for job security, or they're looking for a predictable tomorrow. And right now, there's so much of unpredictability.
Yes.
That puts them in a lot of stress at the moment, right?
Yes.
Or they could be motivated. You asked, you know, your question earlier, are people motivated by different things? So people could be motivated by the type of relationships that they have in their workplace. And you know, a survey done a couple of years ago, they found that one of the top motivations for people going to work every day is the type of colleagues that they're interacting with. Because they sometimes spend more time at work than they do with their own family. So that is an important part of their motivation on a day-to-day basis. And then obviously you could be motivated by awards and things like that, or your position, or the fact that you want to build a nest egg or a foundation, or a financial foundation for yourself for the future. Or you could be motivated by your expertise. You could be motivated by your creativity. So if someone in your team is very creative, but it's not given an opportunity because they're stifled because of policies and procedures, you're going to lose them, right? So you need to be aware of these things. Or you could be motivated by the sense of freedom. So you find this as a very common trait amongst people that want to go into their own business. They're motivated by being their own boss, right? And so if you want to go into your own business and you do this kind of assessment, these are the kind of things you're going to be looking for. And you could be vastly motivated by a sense of purpose, a common purpose that you're trying to, not a common purpose, but rather a personal purpose that you need to fulfill. I'm here on this earth for this particular reason, and I'm going to do everything to achieve that goal, you know, so that kind of thing. So these are the kind of motivations we look at, and it's an amazing, simple tool.
It is. Having done it, I can vouch for its power in helping people find what motivates you and working with that. Now, I've just looked at the time and we are quickly getting out of time, and I don't want to miss this week's question. And so, Rita, can you tell us what we have in store for next week and also this week's question?
Sure. Thank you, Tony. So, folks, next week we have a really exciting segment where you're going to learn, just as Raja showed you the motivators, now you're going to learn how we can help you identify your motivators for personal mastery. We're also going to show you how you can use your motivators to achieve personal business success. We're also going to be talking about our exciting mastery program, just what it entails and how it helps you. That's what we're going to cover next week. However, we're also going to be selecting the 3 winners who have answered all 3 questions from the previous weeks. That's on the 4th week. So there'll be the question that's going to go in. Now, I just want to re-emphasize what the prize is. So each prize that the listener is going to win is worth $597. So the total of the 3 prizes is just under $1,800.
Absolutely.
So that's a fantastic prize. So please get your
answer.
This week's question is, tell us in 25 words or less, how has COVID-19 impacted on your level of motivation in your personal or business life? That question again. This week's question, week 2, in 25 words or less, tell us, how has COVID-19 impacted on your level of motivation in your personal and business life? And again, just for those who have missed out our segment for last week, I will repeat the question once again. So the question was, what motivates you and why? So please get your answers in as soon as possible to get one of those exciting prizes. And we hope
fantastic
to see.
Fantastic prize. Well worth it. And if you miss those questions, they will be up on our social media, also on RadioTony.com, on LinkedIn, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, everywhere. And if that fails, just contact the team at Keystone Business Advisory and they will help you work out where the questions are. They'll tell you what the questions are so that you can answer and enter this amazing prize, which leaves us with 1 minute left to go. And I just want to remind everyone that if you miss any of these shows and you want to rewatch, jump onto RadioTony.com and you will find the replays there. They are also on YouTube. They're on BBS Radio. Anywhere that you get your podcasts, you will find Radio Tony replays. And the team at Keystone Business Advisory would be absolutely delighted to help you find the replays, ask about the questions, help you with a motivational map, and tell you about their latest fantastic new program, the Self Mastery Program, which we will be talking about in depth next week. So thank you, Raj, Rita, and Harry, for joining me on Radio Tony Everyday Business. You've been listening to the wonderful team at Keystone Business Advisory. Join us again next week, and don't forget, enter that competition for a wonderful prize, which we'll be drawing in weeks to come. Thanks, Raj, Rita, and Harry, and bye for now, everyone. We'll join you all again next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Radio Tony Everyday Business. This week, you've been listening to the amazing team of Harry, Raj, and Rita from Keystone Business Advisory, who are more than happy to help you and your team achieve the results and success that you desire. Join us each week for competitions and information. You've been listening to Radio Tony Everyday Business.